Power Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into Eco Radio. On tonight's program, your hosts, Richard Mabian and Craig Lubo, will open up the on-air lines to talk about the big environmental issues of the past year and what issues we'll be trying to cover in this new year. But first, I'm naturally with your headline news. ENN.com reports short-term exposures to fine particulate air pollution in ozone, even at levels well below current national safety standards, were linked to higher risk of premature death among the elderly in the U.S., according to a new study from Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. The risk was even higher among elderly who were low-income, female, or black. The study was published December 26, 2017 in the Journal of American Medical Association. Quote, "This is the most comprehensive study of short-term exposure to pollution and mortality to date. We found that the mortality rate increases almost linearly as air pollution increases. Any level of air pollution, no matter how low, is harmful to human health." End quote. That was from Francesca Domenici, the professor of biostatistics and co-director of the Harvard Data Science Initiative. E360L.edu reports, it was once one of Europe's largest coal-burning power stations. Now, after replacing coal in its boilers with wood pellets shipped from the U.S. South, the Drax power station in Britain claims to be the largest carbon-saving project in Europe. About 23 million tons of carbon dioxide goes up its stacks each year. But because new trees will be planted in the cut forests, the company says the Drax plant is carbon neutral. There's one problem. Ecologists say that the claims of carbon neutrality, which are accepted by the European Union and the British government, do not stand up to scrutiny. The forests of North Carolina, Louisiana, and Mississippi, as well as those in Europe, are being destroyed to sustain a European fantasy about renewable energy. Wood burning is booming from Britain to Romania. Much of the timber is sourced locally, which is raising serious concerns among European environmentalists about whether every tree cut down for burning is truly replaced by a new one. But Drax's giant wood-burning boilers are fueled almost entirely by 6.5 million tons of wood pellets shipped annually across the Atlantic. Naturally occurring algae on Greenland's massive ice sheet absorb large amounts of the sun's energy and speed up the melting of the ice sheet even more than black carbon and mineral dust, according to a new study. An international team of scientists found that algal darkening of Greenland's ice is responsible for 5 to 10% of the total ice sheet melt each summer, and the researchers said that rapidly warming temperatures in Greenland could increase algal growth in the future. The Greenland ice sheet is losing an estimated 270 billion tons of ice each year. And finally, InsideClimateNews.org reports the auditing arm of Congress has warned that the military is failing to adequately plan for the risks that climate change poses to hundreds of overseas facilities, and that engineers at these sites rarely include foreseeable impacts in project designs. The Government Accountability Office, Congress's nonpartisan oversight agency, wrote that while the Defense Department has identified that climate change and its effects will threaten many of its facilities, these installations are not consistently tracking costs they're already incurring because of extreme weather. A Defense Department response was included in the report with a letter signed by Lucien Niemeyer, who President Donald Trump nominated to be Assistant Secretary of Defense for Energy, Installations in the Environment. It pushed back against some of the findings, stating that blaming infrastructure damage specifically on climate change is, quote, speculative at best, end quote, and that, quote, associating a single event to climate change is difficult and does not warrant the time and money expended in doing so, end quote. The response also accused the GAO of using outdated Defense Department policies, saying the Pentagon is in the process of updating the National Defense Strategy, quote, to focus resources on threats considered to be critical to our nation's security, end quote. That is all I have for the news at this time. I'm going to turn the show over to Craig Lubo.
Thank you, Natalie. And for those just joining us, you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And Richard Mabian and I are here. And Natalie, are you going to stay too?
I will not be staying. I wanted to share the news with the people.
Okay. So we're going to talk about some of the big issues, what they were during 2017 and what we think will occur in 2018. And we will take your phone calls. The number here to call is 816-931-5535. 1-800-273-4. So if you want to comment on one of the environmental issues or what's happening generally, give us a call.
Good evening, everyone, and happy New Year's to you all. I love these shows because, you know, it's always people are busy and doing things during the holidays, and so whenever you can get folks to come in to sit down on a day like today, it's always a challenge.
And, Richard, I did forget, I wanted to mention, too, if you are live streaming, you can tune in, too, if you want to hear us there, KKFI.org, and then click on the live. There's a link to live stream.
Okay, now we got that taken care of. There's always that that experience of coming in to do a show, and you know, we have a different programmer here. Mike, he's still out of town for the holidays, so he's not here. And Craig and I don't know if we've ever split a show together. Probably back during the fun drive is when we've been sitting here at the table together. So this is going to be interesting to see how we do all this. And I do want to mention that I do have one of my Ace Coon Boons that is sitting here as our programmer, Keith Washburn. He and I have history, good, bad, and ugly. We have history with each other, and I'm really pleased to be able to start 2018 off with him sitting here in the same room with me, looking like a ninja fighter. I don't know what happened to him. He's a white guy, but he's running around looking like a ninja fighter. So I'm kind of scared to turn my back on him. Let's talk about this year. I'm very much believe. Okay, we open up the lines. I'm going to throw out the number to you, 816-931-5534. But what I like to do, if you don't mind, Craig, is give kind of an update on what happened at that conference that I just came back from up in Pittsburgh. I think that it was a very good conference for the environmental world, and I look forward to the various groups that I am associated with of having a chance, hopefully when we have our meetings in the coming month or whatever, to have a chance to share with them some of the information that was passed along, some of the things that I learned. Some of the top people were there. I would say the only persons that wasn't there that probably that you would have expected to be there was a Pruitt himself. Past that, everyone who was anyone was there. His number two man out of Oklahoma. He used to be a banker down there. Now he's working in the EPA as a number two person for them. Was there, got a chance to meet him. It was an unbelievable experience. The environmental world had Pittsburgh completely engulfed for the time for that week. It started on Monday, went through all the way up to Friday. And it was unbelievable. Your major sponsors, Burns and McDonald's, was there. They brought their people in from not in Kansas City, but from, I think, Arizona. Terracon was there again. They had a main station there, and I mean, they were there promoting their products and getting involved with the various type of subjects that were going on. It was really interesting week for us being there. We had every meeting was something unusual that would come out. And of course, you know, yours truly represented Kansas City, Kansas, and the Kansas City metropolitan region in a very high-five manner, and made sure that what we're trying to do back here on this end was known and dealt with the folks we were talking to. One thing I want to hit on that I think was a very pointed conversation. And it was during a session that was put on by an international brownfield group. And people in this room were from places like the Netherlands, UK, Canada, and Germany. I mean, it was a very unusual group of people that were there. And somehow we ended up realizing that within the course of the conversation that what we deal with in the inner city is very much in line with what they're dealing with on their international various international locations. Education, trying to educate third world people is very tough. And it's just the same thing that we're going through over here. So we had some very good and enjoyable conversation. But there was one point that came up. And whether we talk about this tonight or not, if you call in and talk about it, want to have something to say about it, I don't have any problem sharing my thoughts about it. Had to do with the fact the people from Canada felt that the environmental academic community were capitalists. They felt that in their writing of grants, it was more about getting funded than it was providing programs or services. And because of that, they have turned the grant writing process into an academic achievement. People are funded based on words that are being used in a grant application more than they are the service that is to be provided. I think that's very profound. And by working in the inner city, I see that as being very much similar to why inner city programs are not being funded, or if the ones that are being funded by white, middle class, suburban people, which brings a totally different ethnic group to the table. And usually those groups don't really deal with inner city people. So I thought it was kind of interesting. I just to get this ball rolling tonight. Of course, I'm a controversial person, so it wasn't no sense that you think I was going to sit here and talk about sugar-coated stuff. We will talk about that. But that was one thing I wanted to lay out here for anyone who has the gumption to step into this arena, and let's begin a dialogue about that caliber of a subject. Okay, little boy, I'll let you go ahead.
All right. Let's give out the number again. If you want to comment on anything tonight, number is 816-931-5534.
Very good.
So you know, the issues that we covered the most this past year, I think, was fracking, CAFOs, and of course, climate change.
Yes, I would think those are the ones that receive the most attention.
One of the issues that I think we're going to have to pay more attention to, based upon what the current administration wants, a couple of things, is one is nuclear power issues. I think they're going to be pushing for more of that and to loosen the regulations.
I'd like to hear some conversation about that, too.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good area for people to create a dialogue in, because this is an area that not a lot of people have knowledge of. And I agree with you. It is something we need to get on the table.
And then some of those issues have been so big that they've kind of overshadowed everything else. But I think we need to try to remember and have talk some about some of the other smaller issues that, they're not little issues, they're important, but right, they're not those huge issues, which is toxic substances and air pollution, mercury, and that stuff. We do have a caller on the line. Caller, would you state your first name and where you're calling from?
This is Joe Spies. I'm calling from Overland Park, and I just, first of all, I want to wish you all a Happy New Year, and then to thank both of you for all the great work you do for the environment through this program. It's really important, and you always have very important subjects on, so I just wanted to issue a thank you to you first.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
And Happy New Year to you, too.
I wanted to talk about this, what's going on now with the Trump administration trying to reverse the regulations that the Obama administration had put in place regarding fracking and water and the really toxic water that's produced from the fracking operations. Would that be okay?
Sure. Sure. Man, we want you to bring it any way you want to. And I do think that the tendency to move away from regulating is a subject that, as an industry, we do need to discuss, okay? It's real.
Absolutely.
It's real. Okay?
It is. The stuff that the Trump administration is doing through the Environmental Protection Agency by rolling back absolutely necessary regulations in a lot of different categories is just tragic, and this is something that just won't be corrected with a new administration. That once you have contaminated water supplies and land and air, it takes many years, even decades, to correct that. So what is happening right now, people should be more than alarmed at. They should be outraged, and I'm hoping that through programs like this that bring it to their attention, they'll take action to get something done. When we have opportunities to speak out through hearings and anything else, I'm encouraging everybody to take the time and really make the effort to speak out when the opportunity arises. It's just so important. And this, what's happening right now, in 2015, the Obama administration put in place regulations that would have required oil and gas companies to register the chemicals that they're using in fracking operations, their toxic chemicals, so that it would give first responders a better chance to handle and manage any spills or blowouts or those types of things that happen all the time in fracking operations. And the oil and gas industry sued immediately to prevent the Obama administration from trying to regulate those toxic chemicals. And now, as unimaginable as it is, the Trump administration is saying, who cares about these toxic chemicals? Let's just let them roll.
Okay.
And they're trying now to just allow, to just do away with altogether those Obama regulations from 2015. Now, we're going to have a chance. This was just issued not too long ago, in the last week or so. So there will be hearings, and we will have a chance to speak out.
Okay.
I don't know how much good it will do to speak out on this, but I just wanted to make people aware that of what the Trump administration is doing. This is a tragic mistake. It's going to lead to a number of contaminated water supplies, and we're going to regret this for a long time. So I just wanted to make sure this was on your list today.
And Joe, I'm loving where you're coming from and what you're saying. Now, here's what I want to be able to do. Now, you've stated the issue clearly of what it is that you are bringing to the table that you're concerned about. You even listed ways that people can go about making sure their voices are being heard, and you want to make sure, yes, you can utilize programs like we have here to keep that as a front burner issue. Now, this is what I want to be able to do. I want us to also be able to add to the conversation the various degrees of tragedy that we are dealing with. Yes, we have a concern with the Trump administration. Yes, we have a concern that needs to be addressed with the companies that are polluting the waterways and stuff. But there's one issue, and this is one that while I was in Pittsburgh, the folks from EPA, one of our regulars from EPA, made sure the folks in the room would understand. Anytime Richard Mabian walks in the room, his concern is going to be the people who we serve. And while all of this is going on with the meetings and the conversations and the yakety yakety yak, the people who are suffering are the people out here who we serve. So I would like to make sure that while we are doing what you're talking about doing, we're also trying to encourage organizations to do what the Riverkeepers are doing right now in the Kansas City, Kansas Public School, and that's going in teaching high school students how to scientifically test water. Because if we're going to make this work, we're going to have to educate the public. We cannot allow the corporations and the system to use this back and forth argumentative court proceedings to govern what happens to poor people, the people like in Flint who are dying, because no one taught them how to learn not to drink the water. Out of everything that I've heard that's happened in Flint,
I haven't heard anyone talking about how they have started educating the public. So I'm with you 100%. All I'm saying, as much as we're going to sit here and support your effort and the efforts and the people who are standing up in the courts, who are going to Topeka, who are going to Washington, D.C., to argue the aspects about what the Trump administration is doing, I want to know that those same people are willing to get involved in the inner city. I'd like to go down the list and see how many people you know, Joe, that have been in the inner city saying anything to anybody.
Oh no, absolutely. And I'll tell you the other thing on your point, which is that's so important, what you just said, that, and to extend that, what's happening with fracking right now, for people to have a chance at getting compensation for their contaminated water, if they were to pay a company, you have to test your water before the fracking operations begin. So you have a base sample to refer to once you believe it has been contaminated. But the problem is, it costs, in some cases, $10,000 to get that water sampling done. That's absurd. So what? One of the things that I'm trying to do and that I hope to make people aware of is that they need to raise their voices and say the oil and gas companies should be paying for their water sampling. It is not right. It is not just that the oil and gas companies are forcing just average Americans who cannot afford $10,000 to have their water sampled before these operations begin. So one of the things I'm trying to do in the name of justice is to force the oil and gas companies to pay for any water sampling that is needed by anyone near any of these operations. So it's kind of an extension. It's not necessarily inner city, but when you get out into rural areas,
right, it's the same thing.
People have the money, they need this kind of support.
I agree.
And, they need to they need to pay for the cost of cleanup, too.
Yeah, see, that's one thing about it, Joe, and I really appreciate you doing what you're doing because, see, you like me. We bring controversial stuff to the table. We're not looking at sugarcoating this issue, and I think the people need to hear it. While you were talking, I was thinking about Tom Friedman's book, The Flattened Crowded, that book that he wrote. He talked about in there the green movement should be a green revolution because that's the extent that we as the American public should be addressing this issue, not when something goes wrong. It should be warfare, but it needs to be one that is directed towards seeking change that everyone is involved in. So I appreciate you for doing that. Now, we got some calls coming in, and I want to give people a chance to call in and address this conversation between you and I. Don't disappear, Joe, because you may have to call back if somebody asks something that we can't answer.
Yes,
okay?
Stay on the line. Sure. Richard, sure. You made a comment that we need to – the people didn't learn how to avoid the water in Flint, Michigan.
Right, right.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
It was a brand new issue for us. And if you talk to people, I have people that will say to me stuff like, I ask questions. I'll ask questions when making presentations in groups. I would ask a question that if you lived in Flint, how many glasses of water would you have allowed your child to drink before you were saying, no, I wouldn't let my kid drink that water? People always immediately said, oh, none. I wouldn't have never done that. And I said, well, what about taking a bath? How many baths would you have let your child take, grandchild or child take, when the color of the water as a person of color was the color of the palm of my hand? I mean, when does it get to a point the individual responsibility becomes an issue? Two.
But you can only have individual responsibility in that regard if you have a choice. Well, and if you don't have $2 a bottle to go buy bottled water and spend $1,000 a month on that, there may not have been the choice.
Well, I'm not, and that's the answer that you get from folks is that, you know, you're dealing with people that didn't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what. I was alive during the 1951 flood in Kansas City, Kansas, and people were boiling water. They did not allow their children to drink that daggum water. And I'm saying it has to be a way that you have to come to a point of saying, I'm not putting this water in my baby. You can't tell me. That's what they're doing in Africa with water that got malaria in it. We're not there. And we're not there, but we have to begin somewhere of making it an issue. And that's why I'm loving the Riverkeepers. I'm the Laura Caldwell with the Friends of the Call doing what they're doing. I mean, it's into the schools, teaching young kids at a young age to become individually responsible. When they released that water up there in Lawrence here a month or so ago, we were out at Harmon High School talking to kids who had learned how to scientifically test water, and we started telling them how if they were adults, there's no excuse for them and their family to be getting water out of the Kansas River. It was polluted. They could come to us. They could go to their teacher, ask for a testing kit, and go test the water themselves. They have learned how to do that. You could see the empowerment that those kids were getting from just hearing to say that. So I'm saying, yes, I agree with you. Choices have to be created, but I think it's an environmental movement. It's our responsibility not to expect the government to create that choice. We should be coming together and figuring out how we can create that choice for people.
Okay. All right. So do we have any callers on the line? Okay. So we are still taking calls. If you have some comments, the number's 816.
That was a good one, Joe. I'm glad you called in.
5534. Okay. Again, that's 931-5534.
I got one for you. When I first met you, one of your main concerns was overpopulation. I haven't heard anything on overpopulation since you brought it up. What's going on with it?
Sadly, I think I'm the only one that's concerned about it. Sometimes it feels like.
I mean, what is the issue? Bring it up.
Well, it's the fact that we're past our carrying capacity, and we're growing at a rate where it's impossible to get back to, let's say, the carbon footprint that we had 40 years ago.
Okay.
Because every living person is going to create some carbon footprint. So even if we're very efficient, we're still multiplying that at a much faster rate than what we can reduce it through efficiency.
Well, I guess you notice I really truly believe that the level of consciousness that we need to be addressing is our future generations. I really truly believe K through 12 needs to be learning these topics that we're talking. So could a program like this testing the water be created that deals with population that we could be going into the school? We have the superintendent allowing us to come in and work with science classes and bring them out to the open areas and do whatever it is we're trying to teach them. Is this something that we could work on too?
I think it is. We can certainly create a presentation on it and get kids involved. It might be a little bit more delicate because parents oftentimes, that their natural assumption, if they don't know what's involved, is going to be that we're talking about sex ed and abortion. And so, which is not the case. It's not what we would be talking about. But if that's what they perceive that the kids are going
to
learn about.
So we have to set it up right. We'll have to make sure.
It's going to be a hard sell to the school district to risk that.
I like when you brought up the thing about the carbon footprints, because that's taking it to a different area. And that's what I'm saying is needed, because why is the pollution issue a subject that needs to be addressed? And I think when you went to you didn't talk about family size, and you didn't go to the normal conversations about the overpopulation and stuff. You went with the carbon footprint issue, and I think that ties into our climate change world that we're involved in. I wanted to give a shout out also to a climate energy project. I think they have come a long ways in becoming the trainer's trainer. In other words, people who have environmental programs
are the people who they're reaching out to train, so that the instructions that are being given on the local levels are somewhat up to date and in keeping with what we're trying to create, like what Joe was talking about. They would be excellent in talking to folks who are out here on the front line educating people in the environmental world about what it is they need to be able to do, how you go about doing it. They have mocks set up where you even practice teaching the group and the words that you use and the dialogue that you have. So I think that would be I want to make sure that people are aware of the fact that they're out here doing this, and if there's any way they can make contact with them to figure out what is it that you're doing that could be a benefit to what we're trying to do, that would be a good group to contact.
Okay. For those just joining us, you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and we are going to take a brief break now, and then Richard and I will be right back after the break.
On your next Wednesday Morning Buzz, our January tradition continues as we look back 50 years to the pivotal year of 1968. We'll explore 1968 through music, and we'd like to put you on the air with your reflections of 68. That's Wednesday morning from 6 to 8.
What's that sound, you ask?
It's the sound of one-time-use trash. People get bottled water because of hydration, convenience, and the claim of better taste and quality. Truth is, there's usually no difference between bottled and tap water. The healthier choice is to get a cool, reusable bottle made of lined aluminum, steel, glass, or special plastic that won't break off chemical bits like the plastic used in disposable bottles. Get healthy and keep your world from becoming a big junk pile. Disposables dead. Brought to you by J.C. Herman High School and 90.1 FM KKFI.
Okay, we're back on. You are listening to Eco Radio, and Happy New Year's to you all. Thank you for joining us. Richard, Mabian, and I are here. We're talking about the big environmental issues that we dealt with in 2017 and where we think we'll be going in 2018.
Right. It's really been a big switch. One of my mentors was Van Jones, and I've watched him. I still watch him now as far as his disposition in the environmental movement. And you know, it's been a big change, you know. He's gone from being that frontline fighter that we had when Obama was in office, and he told Glenn Beck got next to him, and ended up being a pundit on CNN. But I notice now he's back out there again trying to rejuvenate some of his environmental programs, and that's good because he's a very knowledgeable person when it comes to the work that we're doing out here in the field. We need that. And when you talk about where do we go from here, we need that. I'm noticing the millennials who are coming out of school and are jumping into the environmental world. You know, their facts are based on many times rumors. We don't have the scientific persons involved with this. I love my relationship with the Sierra Club, because you have bona fide scientists in there that when they talk to you about subjects and issues, you know, it's not what they've read or heard on TV or some little conversation down the street. It's about something that they have scientifically given. I think Elaine is an excellent person, is an example. Craig Vollen, I mean, come on. You can't find any better when you were talking about the CAFO problems and stuff like that. We have him to lead and guide us into that mess. I saw something yesterday on some kind of a documentary that was talking about the problems with the chickens and having them all cluttered up into the cage. I mean, you know, Craig was telling us about this, you know, eons ago. We've been aware of it because we have people who are on the cutting edge of those kind of things happening, man. Joe, another one. Cutting edge. I mean, he's been there. I mean, he's not. You're not talking to somebody that heard something over a beer. You know, you're talking to about someone to study. Joe, I wanted to mention the group down there in Flint Hills that have picked up the fracking thing. I think that is an excellent idea, an excellent example of how, be based on the work that we have been doing, the environmental movement type folks like us out here, we have that group, and those aren't environmental people. One of them is a former Kansas City Star reporter, and then you have another lady that sells art, but they are actively engaged and involved in what's going on. What we did in Tonganoxie with the Tyson thing, those were residents that were able to have their hands on people who have scientific knowledge of what's going on, and they went to those people. They called on those people. They didn't just sit up and go, oh, we got a problem out here, y'all. Let's go deal with it. They had facts and figures, and when you're dealing in this industry, if you got facts and figures, people will listen.
We talked about the education issues before.
Right.
And one of the things that I think we need to do is environmental community is how we talk to the average person out there. If all we do is preach to the choir,
right,
we're not going to change anything because those folks are already with us. We need to reach the other people,
right,
and use things and scenarios and examples of how these things affect their lives,
right,
so that they can bring it home to themselves and understand the importance.
I agree with you. Watching EPA, because they are the ones who work there, are dealing with circumstances they're up under right now administratively in the face. So they have to figure out how they can continue to exist as an organization also. And their big push right now is community engagement. Community engagement with residents, community engagement with businesses. So that's a big push on them. That's one of them key words they're looking for when you're filling out your grants and stuff. They want to see that you are doing something to engage the community. And that's going to what you're saying right now. That's an area that's open. While we're fighting, while we got the likes of Joe Nim sitting in those meetings with the people that are showing up with him or calling their congressmen or making the telephone calls to address the issue of the lack of regulations and all that kind of stuff, we need people that are out here educating and making, like you said, making contact with the community. Because I truly believe numbers is what counts. I don't know a politician yet that doesn't have a fear about numbers. Okay, so if you got numbers that are gaining as far as a particular side of an issue, that causes people to give that some attention. So I agree, education is the way to do it.
All right, let's give out the number again for those that's joining us. We are taking phone calls and comment on any environmental issue that you would like to. Number is 816-931-5534.
Okay. So have we reached a point? I know this is New Year's Eve. I'm not New Year's Eve. I know this is New Year's Day, and everybody's getting ready to return to work tomorrow and everything. But have we reached a point in this country that the environmental issues and concerns have become back burner issues? Do you think we've reached that point?
I don't know that outside of the environmental community,
yeah.
I don't know that was ever a front burner issue. Because
yeah, okay.
If you look at all of the – even some of the candidates who have run for political office before, and if they're asked questions about the environment, some of them address the issue and act concerned. But – if you look at their mailers that all these politicians from all sides, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, et cetera, from all sides, you look at their mailers and their pamphlets and stuff, and it's very, very rare that you see a politician that lists the environment as one of their four or five top issues.
That's something else. That's unreal. You know, David Corton spoke to this in his book, The Great Tourney. I always go back to those people because the inevitable is still with us. You know, the inevitable is still there. And the education that we should be doing, you know, you just wonder, you know, with all the money that's being spent in all these programs, how much of it is really truly being a benefit over just being the financial means for a program to operate.
And I think some of the people, even though they won't address the issue in the campaign, some of them after being elected, did deliver support us on environmental issues.
I think Kansas, I think we're doing a good job in Kansas, even up in Topeka. I noticed that there's people who are wanting to run for office. By me being the president of the NAACP, even though I can't influence a vote or even have anything to do with it, people will address themselves to me. And this one lady addressed herself to me and said that she was filling out her environmental form for the Sierra Club. Zach is doing a heck of a job up there in Topeka for us as far as really sitting and talking and engaging in conversations with folks, and I truly believe that it has made a difference as far as the kinds of work that's going on up there in Topeka. Zach, Dorothy Barnett with Climate Energy, and so, you know, there's a lot of groups. I hate to start naming groups because I'll always end up missing and leaving someone out. Modi Reader, he also is up there, and so there's a lot going on as far as from that end in Kansas, and I think that's being a benefit as far as us reaching people. I don't know how much of that is going on in other areas. I don't know how much of that is going on in Missouri. Even in Kansas City, Missouri, I don't know how much is being done over here as far as issues like these are concerned.
I guess we had a caller on the line that was disconnected. So if you will call us back, we would love to hear from you. Again, the number for anybody with comments is 816-931-5534.
Okay. You know, we've talked about what was going on in 2017. Joe even took us all the way back to 2015 to bring us up with, because that was administration with Obama administration into what we're dealing with now. And it's kind of, you know, there's just not a whole lot being said, but there's a lot of top heavy against this. You know that, but there's just not a lot being said down the line that would give you some kind of indication of what's going on. I think we're getting a new person out in Region 7, aren't we? Are we getting a new person out there that's coming out of one of Trump's appointees or something that's going to be working out of Region 7?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, you know, that's what's it. I mean, it's like rumors, but we're not really getting.
And what I had read was pretty much that they were against us on just about every environmental issue.
Yeah, but they have a person who is the regional administrator, and I think he's pretty much like in name only, and they're bringing someone in to be between him and the assistant regional administrator, or something like that.
But, okay.
And that's the lady that's coming in. Some lady coming in from Minnesota. Is that right? Something like that?
I don't recall.
So even here in our own region, we there's things going on, but we don't have that person who is feeding us with the information, right? Good, bad, or ugly. I don't care which way it is.
The question for me is going to be, will anybody at any of the regional offices, even if they might have some environmental tendencies, will any of them have any power to do anything given who is the head of the EPA in Washington? You know, Scott Pruitt, his number one mission, his goal, it's been stated, is to abolish the EPA.
Right, so. Right. Yes, Yes, that's yeah, that the fact the EPA is supposed to be going from regulation to policy. The Environmental Justice Division is going to be concentrate more on policy, and they brought in a policy lady to be in charge of that particular division also. So there's a lot of this going on. But I'm telling you, it was a very powerful meeting in Pittsburgh. I mean, that was all EPA. And it had to do with brownfields. It has to do with things that are that have money. I mean, you had your groups from K-State was up there. They in charge of the brownfield technical programs. You had those places from New Jersey and K-State. I got a chance to meet those people from around the country. California, they actively engaged in working in neighborhoods, working in communities, doing the assessment on brownfield sites, because one of the things that Trump, the Pruitt was trying to cut it, Trump wanted to cut it, and Pruitt wanted to maintain brownfields. One of the ways was in there. Something was in there. Trump wanted to do the cutback on EPA, and Pruitt said that he was a supporter of brownfield work. So maybe that's why there's so much effort going on in the brownfield world, because, I mean, it was a busy week.
Another issue that's rearing its ugly face, it's a new issue, is what the Trump administration just recently did with taking back some land, or selling the land, privatizing land that was part of national monuments in Utah.
Yes.
And I don't know, they haven't talked about national parks yet, but I suspect they may try that with some of the parks.
Yeah, and
this is, I mean, these are parks that we all have cherished.
Yes.
Going back to the first national park under Theodore Roosevelt over 100 years ago. And here, you know, no president of any party, I don't think, has ever taken back national park land.
Right.
And I fear that we might be faced with that under the new president.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And again, we go back to my number one concern is the people who we serve. You know, I mean, I saw what happened up at in South Dakota, you know, with the fight to prevent that pipe from coming in and bring the Native Americans out, and we up there with all of our hoopada, and we're sending up water, we're sending up clothes, we're doing all those things, and then when the program's over, we're gone.
Yeah.
We're gone. You know, and those people who we activated are sitting there without the support to continue doing what they're doing. I have a problem with that. I'm not saying don't do it, but we need to make sure we are educating people on the ground to continue this process. Those people aren't going to be academians. They're not going to be able to fill out grants that have all the fancy words in it that's going to cause people to look at, oh, well, I'm going to give this money over here. So if we don't have people actively engaged in trying to support those groups and get them to pick up a program, they'll be like they are right now, up there by themselves. And so that's our issue, is we need to also push that. I think we got that caller coming back.
So we're bringing in another caller. Caller, if you'll state your first name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Jack calling from Shawnee.
Hello, Jack.
Hi. Have you heard about Bristol Bay and the Pebble Mine?
You bring it to us. Let me hear it.
Well, Bristol Bay is where most of the salmon go to spawn up in Alaska. And I'm working out, so that's why I'm out of breath. But they are putting in a Pebble Gold Mine. It's just being permitted right now. The permitting's been applied for to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. You can go online to save BristolBay.org, but they're proposing a gold mine right in the headwaters of Bristol Bay. This gold mine will be as big as the Manhattan Island in New York, and will be as deep as the Grand Canyon.
Mm.
And they'll be abusing arsenic and other things to I believe, to extract the gold. And they do that. Over 50 million salmon a year make their way back up there to spawn, you see.
Yes.
And this gold mine will totally pollute the waters and the headwaters and likely destroy Bristol Bay, the world's greatest wild salmon spawning habitat. So it's a total disaster.
And you know,
total disaster.
That was Jack, right? That's your name?
Yeah, Jack and Shawnee.
Well, the thing that gets me, Jack, is that we don't know that. You understand what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
We don't know that. Like you asked us, did we know anything about it? Now, we're actively engaged in the environmental world, and I'm trying to say it is so huge what's going on out here right now.
It is. It's everywhere. They're hitting everywhere.
And
but if you go on to Google and you put in Bristol Bay
right,
and CNN did a story on it fairly recently where they interviewed the CEO of this gold company. So if you Google CNN and Bristol Bay,
okay,
it'll be very interesting for you.
You know,
but yeah, you're right. I mean, there's
just too much.
Chaco Canyon in New Mexico.
Right, right. There's too much.
National Wildlife Refuge, our Bear's Paw, everything.
Well, what I was just sitting there thinking, and I'm going to bring this up to our group when we have our next program meeting, that we can take our station, we can take our program, Eco Radio, and figure out a way that we can make it a outlet for people who, like yourself, hear something like that, to pass that information on to us so we can get that information out to the public. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. That's the only way we can start getting a hold on what's going on. I'm so glad that you called in and said that to us, because now that's something that we will be able to research, we'll be able to look at. Other folks out there listening to this program heard what you said, and that's what we need to be in the position of doing.
Be sure to call your representatives in Congress and tell them, no, don't permit the pebble mine. Don't permit the pebble mine. I appreciate your show. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Pay attention to Bristol Bay, please.
Yes, sir.
And before we finish this discussion, we just have a few minutes left. I do have a couple of calendar items. And also, since we didn't have our normal intro, do want to remind callers that the opinions of Richard and myself here are, and the callers who called, are our own individual opinions and do not necessarily represent the opinions of KKFI or the Midcoast Radio Project.
Thank you.
The calendar items on Great Plains Growers Conference takes place on January 11th through January 13th of this month. Learn about growing organic fruit trees, vegetables, cover crops, and raising honeybees. The conference is held in St. Joseph, Missouri at the Missouri Western State University. And to register for that and to get more information, you can go to the Eco Radio KC Facebook page. And also on our Facebook page, you will find information about different locations to recycle Christmas trees, lights, and other holiday things that you may have lying around your lawns or your home. That's one of the things. Talk about Christmas lights.
We'll have to put it on the back burner.
over at the courthouse, they have the lights that go up, and all this stuff with electrical stuff goes up like right after Halloween, between Halloween and Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
They're turned on. They're left on 24/7. Sometimes when I'm over there, I will unplug a few of them on my way out, because it's like during the weekend and on holidays like now, nobody's in the courthouse. Why are they leaving these lights on to burn up electricity?
Right.
So
it's amazing to me how little our elected officials actually know about environmental circumstances and concerns.
So I hope if any of our commissioners from Wyandotte County were listening, that they will take care of that issue. So I think that's all we have now. Do you have a closing comment real quick?
Well, I just want to say that it always amazes me who I know people are out there listening, whether they call in or not. I run into people all over town, and they all talk about listening on the show and how beneficial this show has been to the Kansas City metropolitan area as far as having these conversations. I'm a stickler, and you might as well go ahead and understand that. I take the most controversial side of an issue, but I think that's the only way that's the only way we can have that discussion. And I'm always concerned, just like Jack called in and was concerned about the spawning of the fish. I'm concerned about the people that are living in and around the areas that we are serving, because I know it's not that we can make things, we can stop things, we can always work towards stopping things, but when we run out of funding, or when it stops being a front burner issue, I really detest the fact that the people who create the disturbance within people's lives no longer exist, and the people are there and expected to deal with this on their own. And we leave them in a very difficult situation, because they're going up against powers to be with nothing, no scientific fact, no contact with deep pockets or anything. And all I'm saying, I'm not asking people to have to go out of their way to deal with it. I just want us to make sure we include that in our discussion, so that as we continue to evolve, that we also find ways to be able to address that issue too.
Yeah, I agree. For those of you who just joined, thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Eco Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. If you want to listen to the podcast, that will be up later this week, and that's at kkfi.org. Also under the podcast later this week, and also hopefully by the weekend on our Facebook page, you can check there to see what our topic will be next week. So join us next week, and we'll go out with this song right now.
All righty.
A child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who's a crawl. Heaven help us all. From the mighty and the mighty from the small.
Arts KC is Kansas City's regional arts council, working to unleash the power of the arts for the benefit of our community. Arts KC's programs support, promote, and advocate for the entire arts sector. Learn more at artskc.org. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.